sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Attaboy, John. Good shooting. Right on target.
Oh, great. I just love doing that, Stan. It's so good to be in control of putting down idiotic floating ideas. No, I'm John Curlin.
Oh, yeah. I'm Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation lighthearted because we just think it's the best way of doing it. We don't take ourselves that seriously, but we take the topic seriously.
We take the topic seriously, and even though we have fun taking it. And we are talking today about
wrestling. WrestleMania!
Well, it's about
time. It's the Crusher against Scrap Iron Gadaski. Those were the ones that used to be out of the old Milwaukee area back in the 60s when I used to watch wrestling.
Uh-huh.
It'd be old the Crusher. He was the one that would run around. His training was putting a keg of beer on his shoulder and running around the streets of Milwaukee. And
John, my image of you is slightly changing now as I listen to this.
No, when you're a kid, those were the kind of stay up late on Friday nights and watch wrestling. You know?
Pro wrestling, as it is.
But there's actually, we want to talk about a little bit of wrestling today, WrestleMania, but not within the realms of the craziness of our entertainment culture. But
what's wrestling?
In the science.
In the sciences. The sciences are wrestling?
Evolution has some sciences that are wrestling. Actually, they don't wrestle out in public. They kind of do it behind the scenes, and they don't really even do it too hard because they're afraid if they get spotted wrestling, someone might actually think that one of them is going to be a real loser or their theory is going to be a real loser.
Okay, now explain yourself a little bit. How do you mean?
Well, today's grudge match, cage match, is between the law of thermodynamics or the physicists.
Over here in this corner.
Weighing
ding,
in.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's the laws of physics.
Laws of physics,
And over in this corner.
Yes. The challenger.
A portly living wrestling slime ball of biology.
Biology.
The laws of biology.
Okay. Biology and physics are wrestling as in against each other, obviously.
Well, they don't want to claim they are so much, and they're going to be trying to deny it or mm-hmm. weasel their way around. But the reality is that there are certain physical laws that the physicists know.
Mm-hmm.
That are in conflict when it comes to this theory of evolution with laws of biology.
For instance, give me a physics law. Now, what do you mean?
The second law of thermodynamics.
Oh, well known. Okay.
We have to explain that.
Explain it.
A little explaining here, Lucy.
Okay.
Thermodynamics is a branch of physical science that's really concerned with the relationships, interrelationships or interconversions of different forms of energy.
What energy does amongst themselves.
Yes,
huh?
What little energy particles do, mm-hmm. or energy, not particles, but energy does among itself. An example might be when you put a glass of water in a room, it seeks room temperature.
Okay.
Physics tell us that heat cannot goes from hot to cold or cold mm-hmm. to hot.
Right.
It's seeking a stasis. And, mm-hmm. and they call it, the second law of thermodynamics is sometimes called entropy or, real bluntly, heat death.
Death of heat. Where does heat go? Okay.
Well, heat, mm-hmm. heat just kind of, it just
dissipates.
It dissipates mm-hmm. throughout to form an equilibrium. Like, dearly beloved, we are gathered here, unfortunately, on this sad occasion to witness the death of heat.
Death of
heat. Heat was around for a while, but the old chap got cold.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So,
what in the world does that have to do with biology, and why would that be wrestling?
Well, part of the second law of thermodynamics mm-hmm. is sort of saying that things is a kind of a closed system and things are getting simpler,
yes.
not more complex.
Right, cooler.
Things are getting cooler. Things are just equalizing.
The sun is burning up.
The sun is
getting cool,
up,
dissipating
and,
heat.
Yeah. And as a result of that,
mm-hmm.
Things are not getting more complex. They're actually getting more. They're breaking down. They're mm-hmm. falling apart. They're not going from greater order.
Don't look at me like that when you say things are falling apart.
Well, they're going from greater. Greater disorder.
Okay, from
not
order
greater,
to disorder.
Disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally the principle mm-hmm. in entropy.
Now,
and, that's our
but
bodies.
But that's not what biology said, or at least that's not what Darwin said. Darwin said that we started with the simple pile of dust or whatever, going to maybe some soup or something, but eventually all this simple chemical material became more and more complex, i.e. Yeah. DNA in human forms.
The reality is it's going from, you know, it is going to all these chemicals are combining, and you get all of a sudden you Shazam, you have life. It's sort of like the primordial pool, you know, has some sort of just awesome capacity within itself to rise above the laws of physics. We will conquer physics.
Yes. I know I'm just pond scum now, but I want to be a butterfly.
I want to be a squirrel.
I will be a butterfly.
And if I can't, maybe a turtle.
With enough time and something, chance.
Something. It's super soup, you know. Mm-hmm. And the reality is sometimes when we think of pond scum, we look at a little pool. Mm-hmm. But really, I think with the people that first bought up the idea of some sort of primordial soup, which they don't really push as hard as they used to. That's why you're spending all that money, by the way, mm-hmm. out in outer space to see if it can happen elsewhere. Because they realize it probably couldn't happen in the early Earth's atmosphere, early Earth's surface. Mm-hmm. But it's actually oceans, because they want to get the greatest. They have to have a chance to run their secret play. It's not just an end around. It's the
more water they have, the more chance of doing more plays.
Yeah, it's their secret trick play. It's their secret trick play, and it's called chance.
Hail Mary.
It's the Hail Mary of Hail Marys.
You fade back. You all go find post pattern. Just run,
and we hope we'll hit you with a lightning bolt.
Exactly.
And maybe you'll come to life or something. I know it's a little bit of simplistic view, but the reality is it's going against.
It's a hurdle for biology.
It's a hurdle for biology.
Because again, listener, if you can understand the basic gist of evolution, and that is that somehow through sheer chance, natural forces came together, converged, and made simple things complex, organized things, put energy into them, continued to reorganize into more complex, and reproduce and make things incredibly, unbelievably complex. DNA has enough information to fill how many, you know, dozens and dozens and hundreds of
thousands of books
of telephone books and everything with information, bits of information, unbelievably complex. How can it do that if physics said if you just leave something alone, it's gonna deteriorate. It's gonna become
simpler, colder, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And really, a fundamental law of biology. Is it saying that instead of having, it should be descent, you know, Darwin talked about descent with order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And which really is descent with greater disorder, you know, greater breakdown, greater loss. And biology is fighting against that.
It's pushing against. It's like swimming upstream, unbelievably. It's like trying to swim up the Niagara Falls.
Yeah, a trout trying to say, we're going to go spawn up Niagara Falls. You probably have a better chance of doing that, you know, and without the walkway. So when you get these great battles, you know, they're the dirty little secret. And that's why you'll read in some of the science journals and some of the new guru who replaced Carl Sagan. I forgot his name. I think we talked about him a few months back, but they're trying to come up with this theory of everything, and they make it sound like we're just about there. And the reality is no, they're not just about there. They're getting more and more questions, and they're getting more and more challenges, and they're getting more and more scientists who are honest rising up and saying, you know, it's about time we have new technology, we have new ways of measuring things. And the reality is Darwin's theory really doesn't add up anymore.
I've got a theory of evolution. A theory of everything, and it's not evolution. The theory of everything is that God simply said, I want to make an organized, beautiful universe with creatures in it that I want to love and relate to.
Great diversity.
I'm going to make a perfect world. It's going to be balanced. Everything is just going to be so. If I have to infuse energy into those systems to make them complex enough to work, I will do that. And I think that's the theory of everything.
Yeah, instead of being TOE as the abbreviation, it's GOD.
There you go. That's how you spare it.
There's the little acronym for the theory of everything.
Well, if you look at nature and areas where God operates, God puts bits and pieces together, consistent systems that work interdependently with each other. You see that in every area. I think of my church that I pastor. We have spiritual gifted people there that tend to work together. You know, we have deacons and elders and all of them working together, the bits and pieces that God brought together to make like a spiritual body.
Yeah, we have a torpedo text that we like to share with some people that kind of illustrate it. It actually comes from a kind of a fight within a church about the different systems striving, instead of working in harmony, work in disharmony.
Kind of like wrestling going on, where wrestling the people didn't appreciate the, you know, the other's abilities. It says Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, and it is verse 33, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, or harmony. If the word is shalom in the original, that would be harmony. So organize and put together. That's the God we serve. I don't think if he is the God who made biology, the biological systems, and the physical systems with the laws of physics, that if we study them and understand them properly, they're going to be wrestling.
They're not going to be wrestling.
I don't think there's going to be confusion. They're going to work in harmony.
Now, where does entropy come from then that we do see in our world? Where does the entropy come from when it comes to the inside this closed system? Mm-hmm. The Bible had an answer for that too. It was talked about it as sin. Mm-hmm. Sin is a foreign concept that has allowed the world to deteriorate.
To corrupt.
To corrupt. And there's a time when God says the corruption is going to put on incorruption. Mm-hmm. But he does recognize that things are breaking down, which is truly in the laws of physics now that we observe.
The Bible even says that the sun waxes old like a garment. I mean, the earth waxes old. Everything is getting older and waxing old.
Yeah, you're looking a little bit waxy.
Thanks a lot. Around the eyes and around everybody. There's some.
Just stay away from candles and hot flames. You don't melt. No. But that is the great wrestling match. Mm-hmm. And if you can't solve that, you know, they expect me to accept a theory, evolutionists, expect me to accept a theory when they have so many internal conflicts that, you know, are so hard to harmonize that the reality is they don't. And if you believe that, I have some land I want to sell you on some island that doesn't exist.
Or a nice bridge, you're right. No, exactly so. And the presuppositions are in place no matter what the evidence, I think, and I've always felt this, and evolution and some of these issues have not always been evidence driven. I think there's other things going on at some level in believers' hearts that just simply accepts a model that they're more comfortable with, a worldview that simply is what they want to believe.
A worldview that supports their morality more than their morality.
That too. Yeah,
and so that's a lot. Really, that's the secret behind a lot of it. And no one likes to be judged. I mean, I would hate to have been a scientist who taught and believed something that was wrong, so wrong for so many years, and then have to eat crow. I mean, if I got a PhD,
it strikes at the human heart.
If I had a PhD in evolutionary studies or paleontology or whatever, or biology or whatever, and all of a sudden discovered that it's not really what happened. And I spent 30 years teaching that it did happen. That's too big a humble pie for this crow to eat,
Exactly. And we would be probably looking for patches, something in which we can figure a way in which we can still make the theory work.
And so really we like to challenge people to say, don't just accept things. Ask questions. Because when you start asking questions, well, how does this relate to that? You should be able to have good answers and good reasons for your faith. We think the Bible does have good reasons for the faith, and if the Bible was the referee in this fight, and you said, who's going to win, biology or physics? Well, in this case, physics wins.
Physics wins this match.
Physics wins this match. They won the cage match because physics does harmonize with what's going on in the
world. Is observable, yeah. Exactly right. You can do that in the laboratory.
Yeah, and biological ways of origin are basically hypothetical.
They're philosophically
driven. So we hope you'll discover a few more things and wrestle with this faith thing in your life.
Come wrestle with us on Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.